have a good week this week? Wow, no response. Pardon? All right, amen. Well, this week was a bit of a challenge for us, and it's not surprising. Whenever I'm preparing a message, there's always obstacles, and there's always some resistance in terms of things going on. And today is something of a very special day. I've actually wanted to do this several weeks ago, but first the women were away on their retreat, and I didn't feel I should bring this message while they were away, and then Marshall took the youth leaders away, and it didn't feel appropriate to do it at that point. So today I'm going to do something, and it's going to be reflective of a part of who I am in the way I do ministry and the way I live my life. I'm going to do something that's symbolic and intentional. And as a congregation, several weeks ago you met, and you made a decision, and you affirmed a calling on my life to be the senior pastor here. And today is the day that I want to enter into a covenant with you publicly. Now, I've entered into this covenant already with God privately and with my family, but it's important that we do this publicly, that you witness this, that you hear this, that you understand this. Now, the Bible's full of covenants between men and between man and God. We know Noah and Abraham and Moses and David all had powerful, life-altering covenants with God, and each of them experienced supernatural blessings. There's also the priestly covenant that was set up, and even today, married couples are supposed to be in a covenant of marriage with God, that they become one in the flesh, and that covenant is important and it's powerful. Now, of course, the most significant covenant ever created for us as Christians is the new covenant that Jesus created in his own blood on behalf of us, when he willingly died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Now, if you study covenants, you're going to know that traditionally there's a number of steps that would happen in the Old Testament. Now, I'm grateful today because I don't have to do all those old steps. A lot of them have already been covered by the new covenant. We don't have to exchange cloaks and weapon belts, and we don't have to cut a bull in half and walk through the entrails, and sure, Nicole wouldn't want to clean that up. We don't have to cut ourselves and put the cuts together and intermingle our blood and then put these painful herbs on it so that it forms a scar, so that we're always reminded of that covenant. But there's a couple of significant elements today, and I'm entering into these willingly, and you need to know I'm entering into this willingly, and I'm desiring to do this because the Word shows us that covenant is God's natural response to human well-being, to our needs, to our problems, and to our circumstances. It's based solely on God's love and according to his grace. And that grace includes such incredible, powerful things like unity, healing, forgiveness, wisdom, mercy, compassion, favor, blessings, and justice. You all know the hymn, "There's Power in the Blood." I know most of you know this hymn. But do you understand there's power in the blood because the blood established the new covenant? It's the new covenant that has the power. And that was done for us by Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. So today I'm publicly declaring and entering into a covenant for as long as God calls me here to be with you. And so the first thing I want to acknowledge is I'm taking on a new name. You know, most of us are familiar with the wedding covenant, right? We come into a wedding, and traditionally, the woman takes the name of the man. Doesn't always happen these days, but that's tradition, and that's the way covenant is supposed to work. Now, I'm still going to be Robert Pierce. I'm not actually changing my name legally or any what have you. But as a member of this family, this church family, my name is changing to the Saskatoon Evangelical Free Church. I'm no longer from another church. I'm from here. I'm part of this family. And today I'm dedicating myself to make this church my priority for my ministry service, for my tithe and my offerings, for my sacrifice of time, talent, and money. Secondly, we're going to lay out the terms clearly Now, I've covered some of these in the past, but I'm going to go through them again. As the senior pastor, I acknowledge my responsibility to provide spiritual leadership and vision to this church. In fulfilling this responsibility, I will strive to live a Christ-centered life and do everything I can to ensure I do not disqualify myself. And there are two verses I want to look at in terms of that qualification. The first is Acts 20:28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And the second scripture I want to look at is 1 Peter 5:2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. In conjunction with that, I intend to help live that out by striving to be a servant leader that encourages, edifies, equips, and empowers everyone to discover and fulfill the calling that God has on their life, and to lovingly rebuke in truth when it is needed to hold you accountable to that. The second role that's involved is as an elder. I will strive to live in accordance as to not disqualify myself, as laid out in two verses that are very well known for eldership. The first is 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. And it states, "Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap." And the second verse is Titus 1:6-9, and it adds some very similar things. "An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by a sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." In conjunction with that, I view myself as to be a team player on the leadership team of elders, to contribute my gifts and talents in conjunction with those of the other elders so that godly wisdom and unity can prevail. And the next part is as a member of the church. I will give all my tithes and offerings to this church as a priority. I will assist in projects and events to the best of my ability and availability. I will pray for the leadership and every member of our church family. So, I'm laid out my part. Now, I'm going to lay out what I hope you would consider to be your part. Now, if you're a guest with us this morning, please know I don't have any expectations on you. I thank you for being here, and I welcome you to come back next Sunday. If you have any questions about this covenant, please come and see me after the service. I'd be happy to answer any questions. For the members, my hope is that you would pray for me and Twyla and our daughters, that you would fulfill your obligations as members of the church and offer your time and talent and money, that you would be transparent and loving in your communication with everyone in the church and in your life, that you would serve here in the church as needed, and that you will pursue and exercise your spiritual gifts and talents and grow towards fulfilling the call God has on your life. The last point is we're going to share a meal together. In a few moments, we're going to enter into a time of communion. And it's quite appropriate, given that Jesus established a new covenant for all of us in his blood. And no matter who comes here, Jesus will always be the head of this church. As I was preparing this message, God directed me again to Joshua 24. And this isn't the first time he's taken me to Joshua 24. But it's again fitting. In this chapter, we see Joshua was reestablishing the covenant between the people and God. He reminds them of everything God has provided for them. The land, the cities, the vineyards. And he reaffirms that he and his house will serve the Lord. And he warns them what will happen if they break the covenant. I want to pick up this verse, pick up this chapter actually at verse 24 to 27. And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up under an oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Now, in establishing this covenant today with all of us and God, I actually have a stone. I put it here earlier this week. And this stone is bearing witness to us and for us as to what we are agreeing to, especially for me doing it so publicly. And I want this to remain somewhere on the platform because I want this to be a reminder of the covenant that we have, that this covenant is significant. It has power for us as a church. I want us to realize that this is something that God is going to do a new work in for us in this covenant. And so I'm going to put this back. And I'm going to ask, if we do decoration or if we do anything, can we please work with the cross and with the stone of the covenant? This power God has in covenant is power to unify us, to heal us, to keep us on the correct path, and to bless us. I'm not going to ask any of you to single out yourselves and stand and declare your agreement to this covenant in public. I believe this is something you each need to do in your own heart, and some of you may need to go away today and have some prayer and fasting on your part before you can enter into this, and I respect that. But I do need to emphasize, from my position, and just like Joshua did, in Joshua 24:15, I will declare, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Going forward, I do have one request. It's really simple. It won't cost you any of your time, your talent, or your money. There is a divide between us right now. And it's consisting of a number of rows of pews. Now, mothers of young infants, I understand you want to sit in the back because you want the clear access to the exit. I understand that. I'm exempting you. But starting next week, I want to ask you to consider moving forward two pews. At least one. Meet me halfway. It's going to bring us closer together in worship. It's going to allow the worship teams and the speakers to engage more easily with all of you. And for visitors, you know, we need to state this obviously, right? When we go and visit a new place, how many of you have ever done that? You go and visit a new place, come on, I know all of us have done that. Where are usually we more comfortable sitting? In the back. If we all move up a couple of pews, it's going to allow visitors to just have that little bit of extra comfort coming into our sanctuary, knowing that the pews are available. It's also going to single them out so that we know who to welcome into our church, that we can say, "Good morning, we haven't seen you before. How are you?" Because we need to be inclusive and we need to welcome everybody in. And it's going to allow that to happen a lot easier. Now we're going to move into the Lord's Supper together. And I'm going to pray. And then we're going to take a couple of minutes of silence. I'm a big believer that the word is very specific, that we need to take a few moments to come before God and lay our sins and confess anything that would hinder us from taking this in a healthy manner and lay it at the feet of Jesus. And that way we can all enter into communion together in a healthy way. Let's pray. Father, I just praise you and I thank you. I thank you for your power of covenant, Lord. I thank you that there is such power for us in just holding on to the promises that you give us, Lord. And Lord, when we enter into that with intention and with dignity and desire, Lord, I know you honor that. Lord, I pray that your grace would fall upon us, that we would be graceful to each other, that in any event that we don't quite measure up, Lord, that there would be grace for us to recover. And Lord, I just lift up this congregation to you, and now I ask, Holy Spirit, come, speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, and let us know what it is, if there is anything that we must confess before you. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.